Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've been singing that all things are possible. Now that you're here, knowing that you're here in a way that you have not been previously, and for this particular reason, for you were with the Apostle Paul in the same way you're with Brother Branham, but you were not there at that time for the end time revelation, descending with a shout, with the voice, with the trumpet. It was just a voice at that time. Now at the end time, Lord, we have the very same. We have that same one revealing what was given, and we appreciate that so much. And we pray, Lord, as you stood at the tomb of Lazarus at that time, and there was Mary and Martha, both dear, sweet believers, and those who loved you, that you showed forth all things were possible because the man had already gone into decay in that hot, humid country. Lord, we thank you that no matter what the circumstances are, there's going to be a resurrection in this hour. This generation shall not pass away. And there's going to be a changed people, Lord, and there's going to be a rapture. We know that for sure. And we pray we may appreciate that, and therefore in our appreciation be all the more sincere in our attitude toward you and everything we do and say, Lord, that we might be truly representative of you. We ask you to help us, Father, for that's the desire of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in bringing this first study on Christ revealed in his own word, I wish to first of all say that I know that everyone here and everyone on the tapes have caught that I have changed by reading many things that Brother Branham said. I did not change the meaning. What I did was change the phraseology where it was better to be said in another manner because it brought the understanding clearer. Now, what I am actually doing when I read these messages, I'm doing what Brother Branham actually always wanted done with his tapes, which was to take them down verbatim and then what he called grammarize them, which simply meant we got an agreement between the noun and the verb, and other areas wherein the language was not quite concise, where words were interjected, obscuring the meaning, to remove those. And so the other day I received a phone call from Norway, which didn't bother me at all. I was very happy that they called me. And they mentioned, they said, now, we have the spoken word books and we see there is a difference. Have they put them down wrong? I said, no, they put them down verbatim. But I like to read them the way that I believe that Brother Branham would have said them had his education been on a little higher scale, which he always did regret. He didn't believe in education as a source of an ability to reveal the Word of God, but he certainly believed in an education as an adjunct to bring forth that revelation in a manner which people would better understand. In other words, we have a problem right now with the misunderstanding of the Word of the Lord, actually just the way it's written in the Bible. Well, if someone is able to put that into a manner in which the people can understand it without changing that, then that is what we're looking at. So I just wanted to make that clear that people getting tapes, I know they understand this, but on the other hand also, it's just good to bring it to your attention that I know exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it at this particular point, and I've trusted every other point that the Lord takes us through. Now, In pages 3 to about the top of 13, there are certain portions that Brother Branham, items that Brother Branham brings to our attention. And on page 3, paragraph 12 to page 4, and I think about 14, he deals with the payment of debts. He brings that to the people. Then on page 4, 16 to about page 6 and paragraph 22, he brings in thoughts that our mental and physical problems are due to the nature of the food we eat, which food has lost its substance and is so badly hybridized, which is true, that it's very bad for us. Then on pages 6, paragraph 23 to page 8, maybe around paragraph 30, he brings on thoughts of predestination, our origin, and our present life. And then on pages 8 to paragraph 31 to about page 12, the last paragraph, he brings thoughts on what I would consider he is saying about real love. So what we're going to do is start that this evening and see how far we can go. We won't hurry ourselves. We're going to start on paragraph 12 on page 3. And I'm going to read just first of all here exactly what he says and how he says it, then I'm going to put it how I'm going to say it. And you're going to find nothing has changed, except you'll understand it a little bit better. Now I see laying here, and there's been many requests this last week on what I said last Sunday on the message. I forgot what I titled it now. And I put it simply this way. Now I see questions lying here. There have been many requests for clarification this last week on what I said last Sunday in the message. Now you understand what I said was actually clearer than what he said, although he said it perfectly clear. And this is what Brother Branham actually wanted done, so I do it in our studies here. All right, now I see questions lying here. They're on the pulpit, and there have been many requests for a clarification last week on what I said and last Sunday in the message. I forget what I titled it now, but I said something about paying your debts. Now, this is going to be something we already have talked about here, but it's good to go over it again. Now, and you know, no matter what you say, it's misunderstood by many, not because it's not that they don't want to understand it, but it's just simply misunderstood. In other words, he's clearing the way for people who simply cannot get what he's saying at that particular time. Though myself, I never had one bit of trouble with it, and I'm sure most people didn't. Now, someone said, should we buy a car, or what should I do? Now, that isn't what Jesus spoke of, or the Bible there that said, owe no man anything. That's lingering debts that you could pay. Now, what does it mean then? Owe no man anything. Now, what does it actually mean? That you shouldn't owe somebody something? He tells you, no, that's not it at all. So there's no argument here. It's very concise, and later on he talks about ultimates, and this is an ultimate. Now, nobody argues from this point on, what does it mean to what you owe no man anything? See, don't owe anything. Lingering debts that you could pay. Pay them. That's owing no man anything. That's a category. See? It doesn't mean, we owe our rent, our telephone bill, and what more? We owe those things and we pay them. But an old lingering debt that you could pay on, pay it off. Now notice you could pay on, so start working it off. See? Now don't go with anything hanging on you like that. Now what's he saying there? He's saying, don't depart this life in such a condition that you know you're going to leave with a bunch of bills, one bill, two bills, or a bunch of bills that you haven't done anything about. Now, some people are very adept at skipping their debts. And like I told you, it's just like the old joke about the woman said, now she said, I tell you what, we can get a television set by not paying the payment on the refrigerator, and we'll put that as a down payment on the TV. Now, you'd be surprised how many people live that way. They simply live that way. Let me tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. We as a group of people cannot stand for that. Doesn't mean we're going to go around clobbering each other or making people any. We say this church has taken a stand that we agree with the Bible interpretation, which is the true revelation brought by vindicated prophet, that anybody that owes debts should do something about them. See, now let's keep reading. Now, Brother Branham refers to himself, so you get the picture very clear. I remember a time when I was sick once when I was a boy. That's the time he got shot. Now, you know, I came out of the hospital owing about $2,000. Now, that's a weight of a lot of money way back there. I mean, like years ago, years ago I could go downtown and buy a whole wagon load of groceries for $5, but I didn't have the $5. Now it cost me $100 to buy the same amount, but I got the $100. I prefer these days. You can have your good old days. Hogwash. Talk to me about good old days. Phooey. Ha. All right. $2,000 is a lot of money. Man alive, you better believe it. Why, first house I bought only cost about $2,300. Try to get it now for how many thousand, I don't know. Now, there used to be a drugstore here, Mr. Swaniger. I owed him about $300 or $400 in the medicine bill. He didn't even know me. And the man, I went to him. I didn't know him, and he just sent it up there anyhow. Never refused to send it. And I said, I owe you. And I said, I believe, not Swaniger. It was Mr. Mason down on Court Avenue in Spring. And I said, I owe you. And I'm just still awfully weak, but I'm trying to go to work. Now, if I can't pay you, I just become a Christian. I said, first thing, Mr. Mason, as my duty to God, I owe him my tithes. Now, you're going to get a dispute right there with a lot of people who who are mercenary-minded, and they're in the world. They're not legitimate, of legitimate birth the way we are. So you can see here, there'll be a lot who say now, look, I don't agree with that. And we could say a lot of things about tithing, which would be beneficial, but we're not into that subject tonight. But I could say one little thing. I remember Star Daly wrote a book, and he was in the prison at that time, wonderfully converted. And the old lifer was a man there who was wonderfully converted too. And evidently where Star Daly was not a charismatic, this old brother was. And so Star Daly said, well, we're going to collect some of the tithe in order to give it to widows and orphans or something. I forget what it was. And the old lifer, he said, I think it was the old lifer, he said, no way. He said, you don't do the tithe that way. And Star Daly said, no, the man spoke in tongues, but you could tell he didn't have the Holy Ghost because he wouldn't give me part of that tithe with his orphans. You don't give one plug nickel of your tithe with his orphans. I'm sorry, but that's the law laid down by Almighty God. A revealed word, what we're talking about. See, now Brother Branham goes to the tithe here, and he says, and I'm not hitting a tithe because this church, we have plenty income. We wouldn't. We don't even have to talk about money, but we have to talk about the truth, see. First thing, Mr. Mason, is my duty to God, I owe him my tithe. I want to pay him my tithing first, that's God. And I said, then my next duty is to pay my debts. Now, you'll notice right there, you got to start putting something aside. So I say, well, I think maybe my family needs something. Yeah, family needs maybe a little better shoes and things. But you know, I walk with cardboard in the soles of my shoes. And when my socks got worn on the heels, I turned them over. Because that was the forerunner of the tube sock. I should have invented it. And I couldn't stand cotton on my feet. And when the wool rots, so then I get a cheap pair of cotton put over the top of my woolen socks. They were a bit more comfortable. They had bad holes in them. But I invented that too. I invented the two sock deal. Don't give them one sock, give them two. And I said, my father's sickly. Now, that's another thing you could think of. He said, now look at here. He said, I'm going to do God first, and I'm going to do something about my bills here. But remember, there's all these things I've got to count when I talk about you being paid. There's 10 of us children in the family. But I said, if I can't pay you any more than 25 cents on that bill each payday, I'll come by and tell you about it. Now, notice how he said to take care of those bills that people think cannot be paid because they're too hard to pay off. Now, see, something got to be done about it. I'll tell you, I can't do it this time. Now, by the help of God, I paid off every bit. See? That's what I mean, see? Some Christians here at the church one time went out and got some work done on a car here. Now, he's illustrating what's taking place in the church. And the man said, I'll pay you. I get paid on Saturday. So no doubt he said, I'll pay you next Saturday. Or something or another. And he never paid him. And weeks after weeks rolled by and never paid him, never said a word. And the man, that's the man that did the car. And he, believe me, as far as I know, he wasn't the only one, but Brother Branham told me personally. The man came and asked me, see, about that man going to that church. And Brother Branham said, I don't even know the fellow. Well, he said, he comes here. Well, if he does, he said, I don't know. He said, I'm ignorant of it. See, it reflects against the church. It reflects against Christ. If you can't pay him, go tell him. Say, I owe you, and I'm going to pay you. I'm a Christian, but I just can't do it right now. I owe this. And you remember, now watch, it's on God's books too. You know that you do. You know that you owe, and God knows that you owe. Now remember, he said, we don't want to get out of this life, die, in this wrong condition. I'm trying for myself and for all of us together, try to be ready. He's getting ready, try to get us ready. For we know we're getting near something, very near of something's going to take place. So we want to be ready. When the coming of the Lord is drawing so nigh now, we want to be ready for that great hour. Well, the point is this, the appearing was already taking place. And had been taking place for many years. But now we're talking about the incarnation. And before the incarnation comes a resurrection and our change. And what manner of people we ought to be. And so much the more as we see the day approach. That's a reference. It's just coming to church. What about these other things? Now, we want to get ready and speak on a little subject here that I chose for this morning by the help of the Lord. Now, he doesn't really get to it for a while. And we'll speak just as briefly as we can because of the hookup of the people. I hope you all got, all across the nation, got a fine morning like we have here in Indiana. Nice, cool, fine weather we're having now since the rain. And it's just very fine. Now, I want to read in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, in the book of St. John, the first chapter, Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, St. John 1 and 1 for a text. My subject this morning is the study of the scripture, now Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers, is in the prophets. Remember, that's in the original word, in the prophets. And Brother Branham backs it up by dozens of sermons, God in the prophets. Now, he does speak by the prophets, but how does he speak by the prophets? He speaks through the prophets being in the prophets. It's like an incarnation. You see, they are typical in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ. where he was the fullness, they were part. You understand? Okay. But in these last days spoke unto us by his Son. That's in Son is what the Greek really is. Not his Son, but in Son. That's Son form, in Sonship. Who he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And then he's going to give his tabernacle this glory, see, because he does glorify the body. Who being in the brightness of glory, and expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. What a beautiful reading. Now, 1 John, now John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. That's very similar. Brother Bass, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. That's exactly true, because it said the Word was God. Not two, that's one. Now, my text this morning is Christ is revealed in his own Word. Where I came to the conclusion to talk on this was because knowing that what we say, we mustn't just say because we're gathered together to just haphazardly speak on anything, but it's something that will help stabilize the people. We are going to pass through dangerous, treacherous waters. We're already sailing through them. And sometimes I guess it's with you like it is with me, that seems like that so much of it is so scary. Now what's he telling you here? He's telling you here that when we come together, we do not discuss frivolous things and things which do not matter. We do not come to church for fellowship. We come for correction, for understanding, for growing in grace, for being better than when we came here. Now he's telling you right here, he's got to do something for us to stabilize us. And remember, there came a time when he said the stabilizer is on the ship, we'll crest every wave. So the stabilizer was being kept on the ship and augmented daily, strengthened until the day that he died. And now all the full effect of the life of the Word that he brought us must be in us, dwelling in us, and coming forth unto the resurrection and the change. Now watch, we're going to pass through dangerous, treacherous waters. Now that's a squeeze, right? All right, now listen, we're sailing through them already. Now what are we sailing through even at this point? The treachery of a false word and wrong attitudes toward the right word and wrong attitudes toward each other. Because already there were schisms. Brother Branham categorically said there were 17, I think, different interpretations just in one place alone. Talk about Heinz 53 varieties. See, we certainly have them. Now listen to me, watch carefully. If we are censored at this point for false doctrine, which we're called false and occult, and criticized because we believe this word, this is the green tree. What is going to happen then because of this same word? You understand what I'm saying? The pressure is not going to be from another source for another reason. This is the reason. Why do you think Paul was killed? What brought the pressure on Peter that destroyed him? Why did they kill James? Why did they kill Philip? Rather, Stephen. I don't know that Philip got killed. He might have. I think he did, actually. Why did they kill Thomas? All of these deaths are attributed to one thing, and why did they try to get Luther? And why did Calvin seek to destroy Servetus, which he was destroyed? Doctrine. Not conduct, doctrine. Now, everybody gets criticized because of the understanding of their faith. Because faith is a revelation. So therefore, if there's pressure now, then why will the pressure mount? Because of the same word. So therefore, when we talk about the squeeze here, we know what we're talking about. And why we're saying it. Now, and he says, sometimes, I guess it's with you like with me, it gets scary. Certainly it does. But there's no reason to ponder it and worry about it. Because remember, Matthew 24:24 is for our good as well as for persecution. And after persecution, well, they can't do too much to us anyway. We're going to get out of here. We'll die. And if we're supposed to die, we'll have grace to die. Don't worry. I was just talking to a young minister and his wife in the room just a few moments ago. Now watch, he's going to talk about something that makes this pressure even worse. You've got a pressure inside of you. And both of them are nervous, just like the rest of the human beings on earth. I said, remember, Satan's got a punch coming at you. I don't care who you are. He's got a right to that one punch. Which had you rather that punch? Be blind? Be an arthritic sitting in a chair, or be nervous. Another place he said, or have cancer. See? He's got somewhere he can punch you. He's got a right to that open place. Now, that's the spot you got to keep covered all the time. In other words, we are supposed to learn in this life to major in doing what is needed to combat whatever it is we are plagued with. Now, many people don't want to do that. This is where you eat all this junk food and all these things, and you're going to pay a price for it the same as I have. And I got the stamina of a horse, but I wish I hadn't. If I could just be like a little Lillian or angleworm and just fall over and die with a little bit of pressure, it'd be great. It's not that I'm too ornery to die. You might think I am, but that's not the truth. I'm very amenable to death. I have no fear, and truly, as far as I know, what can I do anyway? But getting out of here is not easy. Now, I want you to know, we're going to watch this thing. Man is very vulnerable. And remember the punches at nerves and cancer and blindness and this and that. Now, he said there's an open door there because the cursed causes cannot come. That's certainly scriptural. So people should learn to watch themselves. In other words, when God laid down sanitary laws and things under Israel and certain things they should do and not do, he was wise in doing it. It was the thing to do. Now, you can't carry this to the place of making it a religion because you don't put your full time on it. It's just things that you know to do and you do them. Now, and to see this nervous age that we're living in, and last week's tapes, I think, will reveal to you the great hideous things that we're going to speak on one of these days when we can get to a place sufficient of the opening of those last plagues to be poured upon the earth, those vials, rather, pouring out of the vials, the seven thunders, and those hideous sights that are coming upon the earth. People today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. If you read last month's article, a Reader's Digest, you'll notice the subject there. It's on Billy Graham, the great evangelist. He got so tired, he just couldn't hold his meetings. And he went to Mayo's Clinic for a physical checkup. And there wasn't anything wrong with him, only he just doesn't do enough work. They put him to running physical exercise. He runs a mile every day. And then the article goes on to say the science has proved that today, that young children, these little boys and girls, hit their middle age at 20 years. And by 25, many times, in many cases, girls are out of menopause at 25 years old. I don't know if you knew it or not, but a few nights ago, while the Holy Spirit was speaking here in the meeting, a little girl sitting down there, that's exactly what was wrong with that child when it called out. Menopause, see? I looked at her a second time, looked again, and I saw it was the matter. And I thought, it can't be. That child's too young. But it was menopause. About 20 years old or 23, something like that. See, my mother and your mother struck that age about 45 to 50. My wife struck that age about 35. Now it's down to 20. The whole human race is rotten. Well, if the physical beings of our body are tearing down like that from eating hybridized foods and tensions that rot it, does not that also rot the brain cell? Then we can see how women can go on the street naked. You see, it's a mental condition, a mental confusion brought about by the way we live today. We can see how they can speed through the streets at 120 miles an hour, all these things. It's come to a place where the whole nation, the whole world, not only this nation, but everywhere, is mentally gone. Now, let's just read something here. About 30 years ago, I gave a prophecy that it would come to pass in the last days that there would be diseases amongst animals, amongst cattle and eggs. Even that wouldn't be fit to eat. Now, that's where the prophecy came. Brother Bannon said that, I think, maybe about 9. Let's put it back to 1964. I don't recall he said this in 65. You get back 30 years before that, you see. That'd be 1934, that prophecy came. Now, I remember I prophesied that way back 30 years ago, that it would come to pass that people living in valleys. Remember, what do you got? Ohio Valley, Miami River Valley, 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 Valley. You got that low fetid condition that sweeps in across here, that humid condition, and it's a killer. Now that it would come to pass that people living in the valleys, that I'd ask the Christians to move from valleys. And they're not to eat different meats and things like that would be poison. It'd be dangerous. I believe that I had it for people living in valleys. Now, you notice that Brother Brown has said at the end time, it's not in this here, so I won't be able to read it to you, but he also said that we should stop eating a lot of meat. And he said, cut your meat way down. And he said, try to eat wild meat, that'd be venison and those things, if you can get them, and not too much of that. Now, that's exactly what doctors are saying today. In fact, the big trend right now is toward fish. But you talk to old Dr. Kashuba, like I did over there in Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania. He showed me pictures. His son's an ichthyologist. I guess he's a professor in some university out of New Mexico. And Dr. Kashuba said, years ago I told people, don't eat meat, eat fish. Don't eat meat, eat fish. He said, look at these. And he said, some had given him pictures of fish just rotten with cancer, great big growths on them, everything else. And you can see birds today, they got cancerous growths on them because of the white bread and all the junk people, you know, throw on the streets and the garbage. And then he said, see this? Now I say, people, don't eat fish, eat meat. I said, well, maybe we should quit both of them. No, you can, if you're careful, you can get good fish yet. And I suppose it's possible to get a certain amount of good meat. But I don't know. I just don't have too much faith in it. It'd be dangerous for people to live in valleys. Notice again, all this hybridizing stuff and things that they're doing is absolutely decaying the human race. And did you notice eggs? Last year, hundreds of cases in Louisville and Jeffersonville fell sick and were hospitalized from vomiting, from eating eggs that the chickens in the valley, here, the eggs out of the valley picked up fallout. Well, they picked the fallout out of the valley, they picked more fallout in the valley. And he's putting it down to maybe some type of radiation. But let's go a little further. There's a doctor in Canada that used to be an American citizen. I think his name is Dr. Baker, just up outside of Halifax. And Bill Hildebrand's wife was very, very ailing all the time. And he took her there, and she said to her, have you been eating eggs that have ridges on them? She said, yeah. Well, he said, those are made from chickens who have TB. And the calcium, they have soft eggshells. And therefore, in laying, they pass them and they have these rings on them, indentations and all, rough spots. And he said, that is a type of TB. And he put her on some homeopathic medicine and garlic, chiolic garlic, and it cleared it out of her system. But that girl was so sick and so tired day and night to that simple little remedy, proving Dr. Branham, he was, Dr. Professor Prophet William Branham was 100% right. And so therefore, I don't say, well, you can't eat eggs, but I would say this one thing. I think there's a whole lot more to this than we're allowing ourselves to believe. And you find more and more people are developing very severe allergies to eggs. And people are developing allergies to all kinds of meat. And the reason is that there's too much of being eaten. But here's where you get it, my brother. I believe with all my heart, it's written in the scripture, that no food should be received without it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. See, if you eat it, say, Lord Jesus, you prepared the food for me. Now with faith, I sanctify this food for the strength of our bodies. Then eat it, for in all we do is by faith. That's exactly true, if you have that kind of faith and you're willing to believe. Personally, I don't see too much. I don't disagree with Brother Branham, because the only thing you can do, but even in doing this, I wonder if that's the thing when we know to do. The Bible says, him that knoweth to do right and doeth not, him that is sin. I wonder if if we're a little bit too haphazard in the things we're doing. And my answer, of course, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely. Now, there's other things that I could have dug out of my briefcase and read along there where Brother Branham advocated a healthier diet. And people should watch what they are doing. Now, what he's telling you here, it's the very thing I read you over here in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. If I can just kind of put my hand on it and read it to you again. It says in the 11th verse, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, before the earth was filled with violence, there was a corruption in the earth. And it's been proven today by the schools that have deliberately fed the children a better diet, that they clean up most of the problems in the school. And alcoholics and people that have a problem are helped greatly by a proper diet. And so the earth was corrupt. And our earth is corrupt. Yeah. Now let's not fail to realize that. One of the greatest sources of corruption has been where people are using the bacteria from the soil, which cleanse the soil normally. And now they use it in human bodies to fight the bacteria and the virus and the bacteria in the human body. And then they build up antibodies themselves against it. When the excrement goes back in the soil and so forth, then there's a more virulent problem in the soil than ever before. We are facing a downward trend, in my estimation. And I could be wrong here, but I don't think I'm wrong. When the Bible said that God repented, he'd made man, that word does not mean he was sorry he'd made man, because that would be a lot of stupidity for anybody to believe that. God is not stupid. What it was, he felt sorry for man, that man was the way he was. So instead of letting the human race simply gasp his last breath in some ooze and some slang down here, God just wiped the whole thing out. And that's exactly how he does things. He's going to do it again. But you can see the human race has a real problem. a very, very terrible problem. And a lot of that has to do with diet. And that diet is because the foods are hybridized. And there's an actual plot on to destroy all the old original seeds. And so they can have a world market. There's nothing but money. Now, the people not only know this in higher circles, it is known amongst the common people who write articles even for Mother Nature books and things like that. The people know it. And what they're trying to do is to break that trust, which is a trust, by telling people, save the seeds from yesteryear, all the old seeds you got. And let's bring back some of the seeds that you cannot find anywhere on a market today because it's money, 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 nothing but money. And you know what's happened today in America. Poor old President Reagan and his cabinet thought we'd get a good, prosperous America, lifting the taxes from the businessman. So he lifted billions and billions and billions of taxes, and they turned around and gobbled up companies and haven't made one more job. So the businessman is going to reap the book of James. Go to your rich men, weep and howl. And don't think so. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm not happy with unions, but I'm a whole lot less happy with businessmen because I'm not sold that the businessman is that if Jesus Christ were here, he and the 12 disciples would be rock-ribbed, conservative squares that were businessmen. Hogwash. Don't give me that stuff. So, you got to go to the Bible. Now, I'm not trying to make radicals out of you because I would be a radical except for Jesus Christ. And you can see it come across in my preaching that Brother Branham said I'd be a communist there for the grace of Almighty God. And he said, America's going to go call me anyway. And we read that the other day again, see? So we got to watch these things, see? The world's mentally gone. What's done it? Greed. The erosion of the soil. All of these things. And people think today, well, I can get a good synthetic product. It's just as good as what God made. Hogwash. You mean to tell me that God and nature did all these beautiful things out here and all man can ever do is mess things up? The man's going to turn around now and do something decent? Come on, forget it. Oh, let's be honest. Engineering is fine and chemistry's fine, but put them together outside of God, you're going to have a hell on earth, not a paradise. Because that's exactly what's being done. Anybody going to sit here and tell me that some of that DNA and RNA that their clones are making now is not going to escape out here somewhere? They're just itching to let it go. They're going to let it go. See what happens? You watch. It's going to breed a scab on their nose. There's not going to be enough scabs left. Come on. We know these things in past experience. And so you say, well, I don't believe you, brother. But you don't believe me. You just wait and find out for yourself. You'll find out. I'll quote you the Bible. The earth was corrupt. And then from then on, corruption set in the man. And violence set in. You can't pick up your newspaper. Little town like Dayton down here. Of course, they're honest. That's the reason they've got one of the biggest crime records in America. They're honest. They blurt the crimes out. Everybody else covers their crimes up. They're like the churches. Come to church, confess your sin, throw 10 bucks in the poor box, you're off, you're spot free, are you? I haven't found that out yet. I found one thing I found out, you paid it out of the most farthing. I've been digging down the farthings recently. Let's keep reading. When we open up those seals, the Lord willing, those vials, is that they are, the Lord willing to show these those hideous things. Men will be so insane. Now listen, men will be so insane, women too, after a while, till they'll imagine they're seeing ants the size of a mountain. Ordinary Bible teachers say, well, that's just going to be a big thing there. They're not their imagination, strict imagination. In Virginia, they already saw a bird with a 14-foot wingspan. And the guy ran to town in his car to quickly tell the folk, and the bird was sitting on a pole in the town already. There was no bird there. What's all this Bigfoot and stuff? Big hogwash. Big liars. Oh, no doubt there's a couple of things out there we don't know about, but fat. They'll be tormenting women. Now, why? Be locusts upon earth with long hair to torment women to cut theirs off. Women who cut their hair off are going to bring on themselves the misery of seeing these locusts with long hair. And they'll be just as real can be. Now, if you think things are real, some of you people want to sit down with my wife sometimes. She's a psychiatric nurse for years. And so if you haven't been around those wards where she has, she'll tell you some things that are absolutely so real. Where the woman said, the voice said, an eye for an eye. And she had to dig her finger in her eye and pull her eye out. And it was the most excruciating pain under it. So anybody could bear, but she had to do it. They just caught her in time. So if you think maybe some kind of squeeze isn't coming on, you better look this straight in the face. There's going to be a personal mental squeeze. Not that we're going to get it, but somebody's going to get it. It says so right here. It's going to torment them. Like a sting. And they'll feel themselves being stung, and a great shudder go through their body. hair like women hanging down, long teeth like a lion, stingers in their tail like a scorpion, and so forth, to torment men upon the earth. But then it'll be too late to do anything about it. You get right now, see, tormenting. Last Sunday when we were going into those cycles about how the five senses, the outer realm, that's the inlet, five senses of the body. There's only one way you can get into the body. That's by those five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. There's no other way to contact the body. On the inside of that man, that's the body, is a man called spirit. And he has five senses, thought, love, and conscience, so forth, and all right now. Now, you can't think with your body, because you don't think with your brain up here, see? Now, that brain up there is a little sponge that soaks everything up. See, that's fine and dandy. There's got to be something to work with. See, then, now this is your what you work with, your chemistry up here. You think with your mind. See, you can't think with your body, think with your mind. It's down here, not thinking. All comes through here. It's just like with your eye. You don't see with your eye, you see with your mind. You don't hear with your ear, you hear with your mind. You don't even taste with your tongue, really. You taste with your mind when the whole thing boils down. You know? You can prove that by just cutting certain sections up here. You got no taste, no smell, no nothing. Some people don't have any taste and smell right now because they've eaten so much of the wrong thing. Got to get their system built up if possible, see? Now, and in there is where too many Christians only stop. And they can, just like corn in the field and the tares in the field, they can be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that the real believers anointed with. Now, he's been coming you back to Matthew 24:24, that he said, now you got, that we talked about here, this is where the squeeze starts. Okay, but down on the inside of that next realm, the third realm is the soul. And that's predestinated by God. Now, what's he saying? You're made up of three portions. A body and a spirit and a soul. The body's on the outside. It's got five senses. The spirit comes next. It's got five senses that belong to it. Or five channels, you may say. Then the soul is inside of that again. And it's got five more. And Brother Branham does unhesitatingly use Dr. Larkin. It doesn't mean he's copying anybody. It just means that Larkin was right. It was a genuine revelation. Don't think that Luther didn't have a genuine revelation, and Wesley and those men, they had genuine revelations. But this is the capstone revelation. This is the finishing up. See? Now, but down on the inside of that next realm, the third realm is the soul. And that's predestinated by God. Now, in other words, here's where God's hand is, and where God started to work, and God works and finishes his work, period, soul. Now, the spirit will come along fine, and the body will come along fine, but this is it. Just like John said, that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So the soul is it. There's where the real seed germ lies in there. Lies in where? The soul. Doesn't lie in the spirit. Doesn't lie in the body. No way, shape, and form. Down there in the soul. See? Spirit's on the outside of that soul. And remember, if I take a cockle burr and cut it open, graft it into the heart of a wheat, put it in there, bury it, it would bring forth a wheat out of the cockle burr, no matter what the outside is, what the emotions. In other words, of the same lump, the great potter takes a lump, she throws it on the wheel. Nice, I'm going to make this a vessel of honor, this a vessel of dishonor. And you know something? No difference between the two. This vessel under honor, he's just as shoddy and as rotten and as mentally broken down, physically corrupt, as spiritually bankrupt and soulishly lost as this guy over here. He is a living mess. Doesn't matter what's manifested. Appetite's wrong, everything a mess. But if there's a soul in there that's ordained to God, a little tiny seed germ in there, it doesn't matter how rotten the outside is. No way, shape, and form. Nothing to do with it. You let God begin to move his spirit upon that, and you watch how wheat can come out of a cuckoo bird that's out here. In other words, he's telling you flat. You can look at the outside, and you couldn't tell one from the other. Good, bad, and different. You can look at the bad and say, well, that guy's real bad, and that guy's real good. Forget it. One lump. But there's a predestinated soul in there. Notice, the soul predestinated by God. Everything, all destiny is hanging upon the soul. You follow? Okay. Now, today, we are so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. You notice your Brother Brown still going back to people's questions in their minds, what they're questioning about. He's bringing out answers for them. It's repetition, see? Today we're so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of gift that God's got, but he cannot bring that word, word by word. Now what's the word by word? Third pull. Nobody but a prophet like William Branham could bring word by word to this hour, and nobody but the elect can get it word by word but the elect. See, nobody but people like us. No way, they're not going to get it. Why? Because it's down here in the soul. Now that's where Satan failed in the Garden of Eden. That's where he's always failed. What? Handling the word. He can't do it. Recalling the tape on false anointed ones, or anointed ones, they can be anointed with the Spirit. That's Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues, dance, shout, preach the gospel, and still be a devil. It's the inside. Now remember, Jesus said, all the Father give me will come to me. No man can come except my Father draw him first. Now only the elect, remember now, only the elect, he's saying here, only will take this premise. Now, why does he say then, all the Father gives will come? He's talking about you and me. The rest aren't going to come. We're already under pressure because we believe different. Now then, who are they going to vent the pressure on when the times really begin spilling over? Us. And when we're out of the way, then it's got to be the foolish virgin go down. But they're going to exterminate. And you always got to start with the elect. And remember, it's the very elect. We go back like the time of Abel. Pure human being. Notice how that subhuman being couldn't cope. You got the same DNA. Now, we went through that lesson to show that. That's what he talked about here. He says now, you were in your great-great-great-grandfather all the way back physically speaking. Now, physically speaking now. This is a election and predestination physical. Then that's what you are in your physical being or nature. Sometimes a child will be born in the family and red-headed. It astonishes the father. Now, he's talking about this coming down. The father's astonished because there's a red-headed child. He doesn't know any red-headed people on his side or the mother's side. But if you go back several generations, you'll find out somebody was red-headed. That seed keeps coming on down, and you are the nature of one from way back. Like the Hebrews, 7th chapter said that Melchizedek, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, paid tithes to God, to God, when he was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And Levi, who received tithes, that's later on, paid tithes, for he was in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. Now notice where he was. Now, the same thing is this. You are a son of God, and I am a son of God, or a daughter of God, and we were in God at the beginning. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about that germ that's in the soul. That real you, which is really the soul. What kind of soul have you got? One of that germ or not? Now he said, look at here. You were in God at the beginning. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, then we were in him, germ form. What's he talking about? The spirit. Not in the physical. See? When he was crucified, we were crucified in his body. Now, let's go back to this and just look at this. If you are a son of God, now if you're a son or a daughter, it means you're family. You're begotten of God. God is your progenitor. Now, you want to watch what the Bible says. Cain was of that wicked one. Abel was not of that wicked one. The progenitor of Cain was the serpent, the beast. The progenitor of Abel was Adam. And the progenitor of Adam was God. The Bible says so. Son of God. Doesn't say that about the beast. He was a created being only. That's all he was. So therefore, the serpent seed does not have its beginning in God. And it is therefore not truly known of God. But it is certainly recorded of God. That's why you have Book of Life, Man's Book of Life. And so on. Those records that are there. Alright, now we see the picture here. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, Brother Branham a son of God, his wife a daughter of God, all of us were in God at the beginning. We were attributes. Let me see if I want to bring something out here at this point or not. Oh, I can always go back and bring more later on. that we were attributes of God. An attribute is something belonging to, or produced by, or as a result of. So therefore we are something belonging to God, produced by God, and a result of God, all three. Just like a child. Now, we're looking at scientific information here, which I'm trusting, and I believe it's right, because scientists can, you know, figure out a lot of things as to what's going on, not that they start them. The odds against any two individuals being born exactly like are astronomical. I read this many times, read again, except for Daniel Kunz. There are more than 8 million ways that 23 chromosomes of a mother and the 23 of a father can combine. That's 8 million ways for the 23 and 23 chromosomes. The odds against any two of their children having the same complement of chromosomes are about 70 trillion to one. Now you follow what I'm saying? 70 trillion to one. I shouldn't give way to my superb artistry, you know. Because everybody gets jealous when they see how good I do. Can't even pull this thing here. That's how great I am. Well, anyway, there's 23 chromosomes, the male and the female, 23 chromosomes. CHR, that's abbreviation. I'm telling you, CHR, whether you read it or not, that's... All right, then down that, they unite at 70 trillion. Oh, I can't. What's a trillion anyway? That's a million. That's a billion. I got three more to go. That's trillion, right? 70 trillion to one. Now that's how they can unite. And since each chromosome has 1,250 genes, now these all unite in here at one followed by 9,031 zeros. Okay. Now, you know that that is more than astronomical. It just, forget it. See? Now, it doesn't mean that they're all going to come together. It simply means that there's a choice in there that is absolutely fantastic. Now, we're looking at this in reference to an infinite God. We're sort of making a comparison here, see? That all of this in God, and we're looking in terms of a little dot of a sperm, magnified, let's say that's it there, and the ova over here, the egg, we'll make it like this because it's much larger. Now, you've got this all in here brought down to this form, and that's what God did with his son Jesus. He created a sperm and an egg and brought them together in order to reveal all of his attributes, all of what was him, and of course you might say by him and for him and so on. Now, I'm trying to get my thinking here exactly how I want to get this so you'll understand what I got in mind here. We're looking at the fact of a germ form here. Now, we'll put God up here, and coming down to the human race, he apportioned a portion of his spirit up here in Adam, we'll say. And that spirit gave man, and Adam came down here then into male and female, gave them everything they needed to be under God, and literally demigods, under Almighty God. They had those attributes in there at that particular time. Now, what God was doing was creating a family. See? This is what we're looking at. God creating that family, and that family, begotten of God, from the attributes of God, coming on down through here in two forms of election. See, there's a spiritual and a physical. Physical election. Now, let's just hold that a second here and I'll try to get back to it. I want to read this about this family of God over here in the book of Ephesians. And I can get back on track once I read this. because sometimes my memory's not as good as it should be. Okay, Ephesians is going to be the fourth. No, it's going to be the second chapter. All right? It says here. Now, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the family of God. Now, we're looking right at that family of God. Now, over here, we had Adam and Eve. They were able to have a family. Now, watch. Adam had, they bring forth a child called Seth. Now, they brought forth Abel, but we're going to just let Abel go because he died. But this is the living one. And he brought forth so more and more. Now, what I want us to see here is a perfect picture of the human race in perfect type of God, because God made Adam first. Now, as everything was in God to begin with, for the race and to do what God wanted on earth, so it was all in Adam to begin with, right? In Adam. Now then watch. He took from Adam and put in the male body, and he also took from the same Adam and put in a female body. So therefore, everything that Eve was is from him. So God, in wishing to reproduce children, because they came to that too quickly, they should not have done it. They would have come to Brother Branson later on, but they came too quickly. Then what God would do, he would take from over here and over here, bring the womb, and bring it forth into children. You see? Now watch what I'm trying to show you here. That is, it was all of God to begin with. Then all in Adam. It's still the same way today. Because Brother Branham categorically said, you were in your father, and it says your mother is also in the father by union. Ah, that sinks in. Now, what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you the perfection of election and predestination. Because look at here. All of this here lies there. The ability, the infinite God to bring it all together. So therefore, it doesn't matter what has been interwoven, and here's the beast over here. Now the beast didn't have a soul, but he had a place for a soul. Now he's coming here. All through here. Now here's where we get way down here to Abraham. And we come to Isaac. We come to Jacob. Coming on down. Levi. You come on down as far as you want to go. In there. Okay, we got Sarah. We got Rebecca. And right on down the line. You can get all the wives in there. Now, you notice that because of this complement here, this tremendous vast number that lies here, and what God can do, actually, he will take what is right here in him that matches perfectly here that is his. So that therefore that child, as Brother Branham said, you were in your father, and it doesn't say you're in your mother. Doesn't say that. It says in your father, just what the Word of God says, the same as it was all in the very beginning. Now, I don't think that's too hard to understand. I'm not the best sometimes explaining these. Sometimes I'm more lucid. But just trying to get the thought across to you here. That actually, Levi here was in Abraham. Now, it was because of the union to bring forth Isaac, to bring forth Jacob, to bring forth him. You see, there had to be what was in Abraham here. Isaac was over here. See, right down the line. So you come on down to where you come to the very same place, and we come to the same place. That's what Brother Branham said. It is much easier for God to have created a virgin birth than to follow this all down. And so I can see here that we are literally then in the family of Almighty God, so that we are literally begotten of God. See? Now, that was the predestinated seed. Predestinated seed. Now, what happened? Seed went astray. Now,
Because the life stream, God, came down to Christ. It's the life stream. Everything that was in him was placed in him. Was not all placed in the human race. But now he takes flesh in order to bring redemption. So therefore we were all in him in germ form. Because it's the same life that's coming on down through. Now what God does, he redeems that life through the blood. Then he brings his own life back upon it, bringing us a complete restoration. Showing us that we are family from the beginning. And if you weren't family from the beginning, you're not family now. And anybody that denies the mystery of the revelation of foreknowledge, election and predestination, according to Brother Branham. And I'm doing my best to break it right down here and everything get my hands on to show you. I did this with serpent seed and other things with Brother Branham. And I'm not ashamed to admit I do these things in my line of ministry. To turn down what is scripturally evidential and proven. And this will not be received by anybody but people like us. It's what brings on the squeeze at this hour, which is doctrine to bring on the squeeze later on, which could be extermination if we weren't gotten out of here. So you see why I preach squeeze, but I don't know too much about it. All I know is that right now the form of squeeze we got is really negligible, and yet it is something when it comes to great mental strain. How do we know that much of this that we ponder, much of this that is thrown back at us, because people simply don't want to understand, though they say they believe the message. And I'm not holding anybody responsible. But if we believe a certain way, certainly it comes back on us. And it makes it difficult. Now, it said, if I'm a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. That's what I'm trying to show you. See? And you are in one. And one person really is what you might call a microcosm of the whole universe. When one with 9,000 zeros. Why, the whole scheme of God hasn't got that many saints in it, as far as I know anything about it. There's no scripture reference anywhere. You take 6,000 years of history, they say that about 5 billion people died at the time of Noah. Then how many people preceded that 5 billion? There's about 5 billion going to die now. How many preceded that? You don't have trillions. So you can see how limitless and infinite this is. How small and yet how great. Certainly it's just like sperm in the sense of one sperm in the face of a whole earth out here that's 25,000 miles round, 8,000 miles thick. You begin to see just what you're looking at here. But I'll tell you one thing, as Brother Branham said, one drop of ocean water is just as good as a whole ocean of water when it comes to analysis. One drop of God is all you need. See? We never become God. Now, same thing as this. If you are a son of God and I'm a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. See, we were. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't everybody fool you. As in Adam, all died. Even so in Christ, all are made alive. And you're not going to see any serpent seed in there, period. I don't believe God loses one. Can't believe it for 1 minute. Tells you right here. Now, and Jesus became the fullness of the Word. He became the complete manifestation of God himself and what God was doing, about to do, and would continue to do unto a consummation, when God himself then would be in that area fully satisfied. That's right. Hope you follow what I'm saying. Now, the fullness of the Word. Then we were in him germ form. When he was crucified, we were crucified in his body, certainly because that's where it was. And what happened? The same life has been continuing on and on and on. That life of Christ comes back to that little life in us, that little germ in there, and brings us in. Now, all these things I don't understand perfectly, but I understand some of it. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And now since we recognize it, we sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, in other words, the whole thing is of God. If you can't get any more than I'm saying, say, look, the whole thing is of God. Don't worry. It's all been procured, all been paid for, everything running with continuity with God. For we, if we are sons and daughters of God, we are God's children, and thus we are attributes of God. Then we've got eternal life. Well, what does the attributes were? It's a good thing to write these things down. Something belonging to, or produced by, or as a result of. We belong to God, we're produced by God, we're a result of God. We're attributes. See? Now Brother Branham puts them into thoughts. And then thoughts come into manifestation. A word, like a logos, come into being. Attributes of God. Then we've got eternal life. And God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in Him from the beginning. So people say, well, how could I be right back there with Him when God was just not even God, just eternal spirit? Well, you were. You were, absolutely. Thoughts of God. God placing Himself. That God might be all in and all. See, now I'm not preaching pantheism. We're simply preaching that God is the great creator, the maintainer, and in God's God. You got to be a part and be eternal. And when Jesus became all that word, then we were part of Him then. Amen. That's true. That's not the physical body part. But that spirit. There you are. Then that's in there. When that's in there, that germ seed, there's no devil, no power, no nothing can ever move it. That's the tie post of the soul. Now watch what he's saying here. He's telling you, if you were from the beginning, there is no way you can ever not be from the beginning. There's no way you can ever be not part of it. See? The tie post of the soul. One with the word. See? Now, that, when that's in there, what is that? See, what is he talking about? The part that was in him. When that is there. And you say, how do I know? Well, you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. That proves it. Proves the blood's been applied. Well, how do I know? Because it says amen to every word. See, anointed ones at the end time. Go with everything but the word. Your spirit can be anointed. You can be anointed plumb through, but your soul not anointed. And if your soul's not anointed, you don't have the light. You can't walk in the light. There's no way to walk in the light. You can't have fellowship. Let's just take a look at that over here. In the book of John. The first John. And we're going to close pretty soon because I'm not going to get finished anyway. Oh, before I read 1 John, just take a look back here in 1 Peter, the second chapter. And the second chapter, what I want? Or the fifth verse. Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. There you are, see. He's elect, we're elect. Notice how he came down by generations. See, even just have a body that would supply the nourishment for him. Nothing to do with the human race. Man did not produce that egg and that sperm, no way, shape, and form. Elect, see? And then neither did man have a thing to do with you and me. It's all of God. But man is the channel. As the woman is by the man and the man is by the woman. But all was in Adam. So you see, you can see that. Now we're going to get to first John. I'm talking about, now he has quoted, he's literally quoting from John 1, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which he looked upon and handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest under us. Now in the first John he tells us the Word was God, so that eternal life was God. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Notice they're two separates. And these things write we unto you that joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Notice it says, this is the message we have heard from the Son. And the Son said that God is light, and in there's no darkness at all. And that light took on flesh. Remember, now listen. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, as God Himself is light, the light of God, we have fellowship one with another with Almighty God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. You're talking of two separates. See, don't get all mixed up here like Jesus only and all that kind of stuff that's going around the world. I can't buy what they're saying for a minute because it says right here. You see, you want to have fellowship? You've got to understand that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Him. It was that blood that was shed. Now, He says here, you can dance the Spirit, do anything you want, and you'll be lost. He says here, You can be anointed here in the Spirit and desire all these things. When it comes to this tie posted to that word, you'll never move from there. Let me read that again. You can be anointed out here in this Spirit and desire and do all these other things. But when it comes to this tie post to that word, you'll never move from there. Now, he's telling you, the very thing we try to make the main theme in this church here is that this word counts above any conduct, above any gift, above anything in the world. Therefore, then, anything that comes out of the word is going to be of God.
Amen.
It will not be spurious. It's not discounting fruit, not discounting gifts. It doesn't discount anything. It just says, look, you better know where your source is, because we're dealing with sources.
Yeah.
See, we're not fooling now with something else. Outside of that, regardless of what you do, you're still lost. Outside of what? Outside of that germ in there? Absolutely. And the soul brought to light that germ. That Laodicean church, age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's got an anointing. Anointed with the real Spirit, too. It's the real Spirit of God anointing. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the word, see. And how, I don't care how much you preach, how well you do this, how much you love. There you are now, how much you love. See, that's one of the inlets to the Spirit. You can't love with your body, you love with your spirit. Now, you better watch that one, see. Because you love with your spirit. But what's your spirit based upon? Based upon your soul. Now, if you don't have a word down in that soul to direct that love, where are you going to go?
Amen.
See, that's why I kept preaching on the projecting of love. There's so many things we can talk about love and end up, well, it's great, it's wonderful. Sure, it is any kind, even messy kind of love is great. See, like they say, better loved than lost than never loved at all. They bring it down to humanistic thing, and I'll appreciate all those things. I'm not going to fuss with anybody about it. But when you get down to this, you're on a different level entirely.
Amen.
You're talking now of the real thing here. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You see that? You can cast out devils and preach and do these things. Still not be right. Jesus said so. Said many would come in that day. The word settles it. See? Remember, that's, we're looking at these things. Now, Brother Branham never changes any of his preaching. It always just dovetails. Because it's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Notice, I'm going to speak on this subject of the Bible. Christ revealing His own Word. Where I drew this conclusion was in my room. Some dear person may be sitting here this morning. I got a picture hanging in my study up there. A beautiful picture of Hoffman's head of Christ written in the Beatitudes. And right where you would come to a place when you needed a part of the hair, they pressed a little hard in the pen as you passed that part. So there he is sitting in his word, looking right out. Christ in the Beatitudes. Someone, where it was, I thank you for it. And somebody brought the picture up there in my study of Elijah in the chariot of fire. We appreciate these things. Many times, big crowds, I don't get a chance to speak and say these things. But I see it, brother, sister. I know it, and God knows it. Now I'm going to speak on the subject. Christ revealed in his own word. Now how in the Beatitudes, there stands a picture of Christ standing right out. That's where I thought of this subject. Now Christ and the word are the same. Now he's not talking about a written word. This is printed page. This is simply a word. But the word, the Logos, we're talking about now, the manifestation. When this comes to life, and God begins moving into the realm, even of human flesh, to bring this to pass, that is literally a Logos. That is a manifestation of that word right there. And it'll be literally God Himself projecting Himself in that particular area. Now, I was writing with a man not long ago, and he said, think of it, we are here on this earth the way we are, and we only know or can only say that we're saved by some Jewish fable called the Bible. And I said, sir, I don't know how you can say that. But I don't believe it's a Jewish fable. He said, well, you pray. What do you pray to? I asked for so-and-so and certain things and didn't get it. And I said, you pray wrong. You should never pray to change God's mind. You should pray to change our minds. God's mind doesn't need any changing. See, it's right. I said, not what you pray for. I know a young Catholic boy one time had a prayer book saying prayers for his mother to live. And she died and he threw the book, prayer book in the fire. Well, you see, I don't go for prayer books, but anyhow, see, you took the wrong attitude. You're trying to tell God what to do. Prayer should be, Lord, change me to fit your word. Not, let me change your mind, but you change my mind. You change my mind to your will, and your will is written here in the book. And Lord, don't let me go till you got my mind set just like your mind. Then when my mind is set like your mind, then I'll believe every word you wrote. And you said in there, you'd make everything work together for good to them that love you. And I love you, Lord. It's all working together for the good. Now that's where Brother Brown speaks of the right mental attitude, getting your promises of God. I've been this week down in the country staying with some very dear friends. They asked one of them some questions at the table. Yesterday we were reading. We always sit around and like a little Bible study, have a little study in the Bible. We were talking about love, and there was a certain person said to me, I believe you're an antichrist. I said, if that would be pleasing to my Lord, that's what I want to be. Now you watch what he talks about here. I want to be whatever he wants me to be. I love him. And if he should cast me into hell, I will still love him, providing I go with the same spirit that I have now. He looked at me kind of strange. I saw four or five of them there, young men, young wives, fine women. I knew how these boys loved their wives, so I said to them, I said, here's the way to test it. If your wife, that is before you're married, now you got to go back before this married life, your married life, and you've been dreaming you were married. Well, that's both single, see? You really weren't married, but you dreamed you were. And you woke up and you went and talked over with your girlfriend and said, you know, I dreamed that we were married and we had children and we were living happily and waiting for the coming of the Lord and everything. And then this girl would say to you, well, you know I love another man better than I love you. I could be happier with the other man. Could you from your heart love her well enough to say, God's blessing rest upon you, my dear. Go with this other man. Now check that. Each of you men or you women see. Well, if your love is correct, you do that. If you're interested in her welfare, you know you could have. You could have her, you could live with her, and she'd be your wife. That is, she will be, you'll marry her, she'll marry you, but you won't be happy. And then if you love her, then you want her to be happy. Therefore, whatever the will of God is, let God's will be done, whether I'm happy with it or not. I want to live so he will be pleased with what I do. Therefore, check your objective and your motive by that. You know whether you love God or not. Now, see where love goes down the drain in most instances. Love always has to put something or somebody previous or ahead of superseding yourself. As Dr. Wiest always translates it, his love, he puts love in a self-sacrificial manner. Now, in other words, let's just take a look at this now, what we read here, and we'll go back to paragraph 30 and then paragraph 27. Now, paragraph 30 says, that Laodicean church age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's got anointing with the real spirit. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the word seed. I don't care how much you preach, how well you do this, and how much you love. That's one of the inlets of spirit. You can't love with your body, love with your spirit. This is one of the inlets. And you can even love God and still not be right. Okay? Let's go to paragraph 27. And today we're confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of gift that God's got. He can impersonate love then. But he cannot bring that word by word. That's where he failed in the Garden of Eden. And there's other scripture in there I can read too. But there's other portion later on again. In there we just want to see, we're looking at this thought of love here, Brother Branham brings out on love. That what if God would say, you've served me, but I'm going to cast you away. You say, I love him anyhow. I love you anyhow, see? Therefore, if the church would see that and could believe it in that manner, it wouldn't be one trying, now watch what he said, to jerk the ball, football away from the other fellow when he's running with it. He'd be protecting that one seat. When real true motive and objective wouldn't be one trying to say, hey, I got this too. This is me. See, God can't use such a man. There's so much impersonation false in that state. Now notice what he's doing here. He's taking this illustration and what he's gone through to bring us to a place where we understand the importance of his ministry and how we should be helping that ministry rather than hindering it by being with the group that want to have their own ministries as though they had a great ministry from God and thereby subvert and pervert the people through a perverted word. Now, he says up here, all right now. He said, you women, you say, I love this man, I married him. Okay. Now you men, you say, I love these women, you men say, because we're married, that's great. And you don't believe that I've got a real love, that I'm an antichrist. Now if I'm an antichrist, then I don't have a real love. Now let's just take a look at your love. Now you say I'm an antichrist, and then that's what God wants me to be, it very much pleases me. Now could they say that? No, they couldn't. They didn't have the first understanding of what it would be to be sold out to God. Amen. And to know the sovereignty of God. Amen. No understanding at all. They were still in the chicken run. I said, let's test this thing out. Now he said, let's pretend that you aren't even married. But you have a dream that you are married. And you're very happy with your family, your children, everything else, and you're being prospered and you're great and going on good. And you go and tell your girlfriend, say, I had this wonderful dream. So when are we going to get married? And she said, well, I don't think I want to marry you because I don't love you. Now what do? You go into a tizzy, you can go into a storm, you can go into dysfunction. God knows what you might do. Some people blow their brains and everything else. Now, she said, if you love that girl right, you would say, well, is that how you really feel? Well, may God bless you because I want you to have the best. That's how much I love you. Now we're getting down to cases here. Now, let's just take a look at this next step now. Now he said, now you people, you Pentecostal, all you guys out here, I know the whole bunch of, I know what your backgrounds, everything else. Now he said, I've been given a ministry. Now, if you really love God like you say, and this is, I am God's representative standing here vindicated before it's a vindicated work, why are you trying to interfere with my ministry rather than playing along with my ministry? And helping it out. Now, oh, I love God, hallelujah. Oh, I got it great, have you? Now, shut up and sit down because you haven't got what you think. You don't love this woman well enough to sacrifice for her. To make her happy. You don't love the bride enough. You think you do. You're not even part of the bride. You see what we're looking at right here now. Now, Christ looking, sitting out of his own word, saying this thing. The last days are going to be false anointed ones, the whole bit. Well, I've got something too. You let me run my course here. You let me do something. You see? No. They haven't got what it takes to be self-sacrificial. Now, the other day I noticed I was looking at a documentary. And this documentary is on China. Now, you know that China sublimates the individual to the family unit. Now they're trying to sublimate the family unit to the good of the state. Now you go to your Bible, and you know what you're going to find? You sublimate the individual to the family, and the family to the tribe. And the tribe to the whole bunch. Now, let's get into the church. The family of Almighty God. We go to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans and take a look at that. Now, the 12th chapter of Romans is equivalent to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which we could have gone into. But I'm going to read the 12th there. It says the first, fourth verse, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having gifts differing then according to grace is given to us, whether prophecy, that is prophecy according to the course of faith, and so on. Let love be without dissimulation. Let's not be hypocrites. Say we really love the bride. We love the body of Christ. We love each other. We love God. And then can't sacrifice and step aside? Got to have ministries? I speak from a very minor position in Christ. And I try not to be negative. But if I can feel what's been done to me because I've had a little place that I didn't ask for, I can well understand what the prophet went through. Maybe not well understand, but begin to understand a little bit of it. Because you look around, you say, well, where is love? They talk about all the great love and all they can produce and all the souls and all the healings and all this and all that. But they can't stand back for the word. They can't stand back for what's vindicated and proper and true. And they'll talk about it. That's why I kept on preaching, projecting of love is not what people think it is. It's a whole lot different. Now he said, can the hand say because I'm not the hand, I'm not the foot, I'm nothing? Or can the eye say because of the eye, I'm certainly somebody? No. What it is, it's a constant sublimation of their own ministries to the good of all under the headship of Jesus Christ. And how could God Almighty, who is Holy Spirit, vindicate and appropriately put in a messenger for this hour and the rest not come under it?
Amen.
Then it is not just logical, it's spiritual truth. That they talk about the love of God and have not the love of God. They talk about fellowship and have not fellowship. They talk about blood and have not blood. And it comes right down to the greatest thing of all, that God is love, and this is how God does things. Then let us glorify God, how God does things, then we understand love. And it's not going to make us full of love like we want to be full of love. It's going to make us full of love like He wants us full of love, because He's duty-bound to do it. Because the last feeling in God, listen, God has love. And the love of God is not God Himself. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you got to have the Holy Ghost to get out of it, which is the love. Then that love will stand guard with that word. Because we're family. Now we're positioned with all of them. And they without us cannot be made perfect. We've come to a capstone. The capstone has come down, the spiritual form. The word's here. Christ revealed in His word. And we see Him standing right up through the page, see Him amongst us. See the pillar of fire moving, going to take us right in. What more could a person want? Certainly one should stand aside for that. Certainly one should have that love in his heart. Really understand from this point of view, God's love for us. And what and that reciprocate that same love. See, there's so much impersonation fall. That's Satan. And the people can't realize that. They're trying to take the ball from somebody that's been given to. Let God raise up a certain ministry. Watch how many go after it. See? Now, genuine love for God. No matter what part I am, Lord, if I can only say a word for it to help protect it, let me do that. See where you stand? See, that's the same thing that would be about your wife if you really love her. It's not a filial love, it's an agape love, a genuine love. If she could live with somebody else happier, you're not married now. Of course, you couldn't if you were married, see. I'm going to stop right there, but see where he takes the right? He said, now you, if you really loved her, you give it up. You want what is right. See? Now where that love of God really is in a bride. Then let those that are bride really reciprocate to that love. And whatever part they've got to play, play that part and don't get in somebody else's way. See, now I don't think we got much trouble in this church. I believe any kind of trouble like that has gone down the drain years ago. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people do have it. They never know when to keep quiet and keep themselves still. They're a bunch of legalists running around trying to get in the way of those that understand the grace and goodness of Almighty God. They're still back in Pentecost, where if I spit on the street, I've got to go to hell. I spit on the street. But they can go up there and commit adultery with 1,500 women, rob 16 banks, and mug 40 old ladies. And that's fine, because hallelujah. You can see what I think of Pentecost. I think nothing but the rottenest terms. Now, there's some good folk there. I admit that. But that spirit, brother, sister, if that spirit is not of God, then you tell me what spirit it is. Now, you've answered your question. You've answered your own question. You can't have your cake and eat it. There's no way. So Brother Brown's getting to set now to see Christ in his own word revealed. So I've just taken this preface here, and we'll get on tomorrow morning, and it won't be too well. Just, I can't bother. We can even miss this here. He speaks on marriage and divorce. About the ultimate, we'll let that go. Okay? So you just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, at this time we're setting our hearts and minds for the communion service, the foot washing. And we pray, Lord God, that we've got enough out of this message tonight to do us good, cleaning up debts and things in our lives, Lord. Understanding that the truth, the fact of the matter is, we either came from you or we're just not. How are we going to ever get you? Didn't have representation there. We haven't got it now. That we are children of God. And that baptism of the Holy Ghost only sealed us back, applying the blood, Lord, making all these things real. And then, Lord, if we really are part, we understand ministries, we understand your grace and your goodness, all these things, Lord. Begin to understand some love to begin to see, O God. And we appreciate the fact that it hasn't been our way, Lord, it's been your way. And Father God in heaven, we want it to remain your way. We want to go on your way. Help each one of us to go on your way, Lord, and just grow up as sheep of your pasture, Lord. Just the flock under your hand, O God. Your children, Lord, and amongst whom you stand. Father, we appreciate that so much. Illuminate us as we ought to be illuminated. Now help us in the rest of the service. We carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just go to the...